Mark 4, beginning at verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And then from John chapter 14, verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So far, the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. As we jump into our text this morning, we see Jesus on the move. He's been teaching in parables and healing many people. And his disciples are so privileged to be able to witness these things. As a matter of fact, they probably have become kind of accustomed to just waiting to see what Jesus is going to do and how he's going to challenge people and what he's going to say. And for many of those moments, they themselves go, what was he talking about? I don't get it. And so Jesus would spend time with them alone and explain those parables to them. It's easy for us to feel kind of special in moments like that. Sometimes I've felt that way about the church. It's easy for us to become so comfortable and feel so special when we gather here because we get the inside scoop. We get to hear God and read his word. And we're so close, and we love each other, just as the disciples were doing. But to go out from here and to do as Jesus is asking us to do, that's a different story sometimes. That takes a little bit of courage. That takes a little bit of trust and faith. And for these disciples, I think they're just so enamored by being around Jesus that he's called them to be his disciples. And life has been so good. It's been so amazing. They've seen things and done things that they never would have done in their previous occupation. And it's been pretty smooth sailing up to this point. And then after a number of days of teaching and healing, Jesus says to them, "Hey, let's get in the boat and we're going to go to the other side. We're going to go to the other side." And as I thought about that, I thought about things in my own life where I say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then these storms all of a sudden pop up out of nowhere. These inconveniences, these things in life that all of a sudden distract me or derail me or cause me to really become irritated and angry and upset. Why now? I'm not going to tell you about my forehead, so quit looking at my forehead. I was upset a few days ago. I was upset a few days ago when I thought, you know, I can get my yard mowed. I needed to get it mowed because it's going to be a busy weekend, and I wanted to get that accomplished. Friday, it looked like there was going to be no rain. And so, of course, I'm out mowing away, and all of a sudden, here comes this storm. And I quick hustle into the barn with a lawnmower. And I wait a few minutes, and it lets up. And I thought, okay, good, it's over. And I go back out and continue mowing. And another cloud comes over. And I think it was just on me. I don't know. I think God, I had already thought about this and picked this passage out a couple of weeks ago. So I just thought, yes, God, you have a sense of humor. I get it. And things have happened to you too, right? You've been in situations like where we're going to do this. And then all of a sudden, something goes sideways. Maybe it's a health issue that we didn't expect or anticipate. Maybe it's a financial burden that all of a sudden just came out of nowhere, and we weren't ready for that. And we wonder how we're going to make ends meet over the course of the next month or two. We struggle and challenge with some of those things. But in our text this morning, Jesus tells the disciples that we're going to go to the other side. He didn't say we're going to turn back if things get ugly or nasty. He just said we're going to go to the other side. So he said, let's get in a boat. Actually, he was sitting in a boat teaching because there were so many people. So he was kind of already in the boat. And he just said, let's go. Let's load up and let's go. And it was at the end of the day, and so they jump in the boat and they start out, and it's a beautiful evening as they begin, light breeze, so the wind is catching the sail, and they're moving along, and they're just all laughing and talking about the experiences they've had, and Jesus is exhausted, so he's asleep, and the disciples are there with him. And then all of a sudden, as dusk was setting and evening comes, there's this pop-up storm. And it wasn't just a normal storm. It was something to be dealt with. We read that the waves were coming over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. And with that, waves, the wind, the hard pounding rain, those disciples are... they didn't have bilge pumps. You know, they're cupping their hands and they're scooping water out as fast as they can. Maybe they had a rough-made can or some kind of wooden thing in the boat that they were trying to get that water out with, and they're busy. You go here. You get it over there. Get it over there. Come on, we got to work. We got to get this thing going. We're going to die. We're drowning. And all of a sudden, they're in panic mode. Couple of things that I want to have us glean from here. Storms come in life. There's no way around it. We can't predict what this week is going to bring, what tomorrow is going to bring. We're not promised those things. So storms are going to happen. Inconveniences, difficulties, challenges, whatever, that's what comes under that umbrella of storms. And no one is exempt. Even those who are closest to Jesus. The disciples are in the boat with him. And yet, they think their life is going to end. Something has changed and altered that plan to them about going to the other side. It's catastrophic. So much so that they also, I think, are frustrated and probably a little bit upset. It's kind of hard maybe to read between the lines, but if you were in that situation, would you say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? Do you think Jesus would hear them over the wind and the commotion of trying to get the water out of the boat and stay alive? No, they're yelling, Jesus! I mean, they hit that button hard. We're dying! Don't you care? Storms happen in life. The second thing that I get from this passage is that this storm ends in stillness. And it's only because the presence and peace of Jesus is there. The storm in my life, the storms in your life, they're not going to last forever. It's going to feel like that, sure. We've all had those illnesses where our insides want to get on the outside, and it feels like it's been weeks. Maybe it has. Where all we're doing is running to the bathroom. And I've known some of you who've had that kind of feeling inside, you know, wanting to get on the, but you're here today yet. You're healthy. That storm moved past. It went beyond. And I need to remind myself of that too, that these things aren't going to last forever. That surviving a storm in life doesn't necessarily mean that it's always going to be rosy and easy, that it's going to be, you know, I got through that one, no more, I'm done, that's good, I got mine, somebody else can have theirs. At the very least, surviving one of those kind of moments in life, I think points us to who Jesus is and what he wants from us. I think that's the important lesson here, is that having Jesus with us, knowing him personally, guarantees that we have a peace that the world does not understand. In the midst of a storm, Jesus brings and gives us peace. So after his disciples are screaming and hollering and finally wake him, you know, hey, we need your help. Did you ever wonder what did they think he was going to do? And so he gets up. Quiet. Be still. The wind is gone. Their rocking has ceased, and it stopped. They're sitting motionless in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And I'm sure that the disciples aren't moving a muscle. Their eyes are going back and forth like, what just happened here? I'm putting myself into that story, and I begin to think, you know, this is a very important key piece of the puzzle for these guys. They've seen Jesus do some miraculous things, heal some people and some of his teachings, but so have other false prophets, other false teachers. Some of those kinds of healings seem to be commonplace in that day. And yet Jesus was a little bit different. But this was something that only Yahweh God could control. This was something that they knew as Jewish kids growing up, and what they were taught, that only Yahweh was in control of the wind and the rain, the seas. And so for them, this was one of those, whoa, who is this? We thought we knew who he was. They're still trying to figure this out, but now I think a very key piece of the puzzle has been given to them. And they're going, wow, Son of God. We've heard that before. We heard one of the demons actually scream that out. What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of God? Son of God. And I think they're beginning to formulate and put some things together here all of a sudden. Their minds had to be full of wonderment. All they know is that a few seconds ago, they thought they were all going to drown and be at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, and that Jesus didn't care about them. And the next moment, they're sitting just rocking ever so gently after the wind all of a sudden died down in the waves, and there's perfect peace and stillness. Mark is writing this letter to the church at Rome. And throughout his letter, he's trying to encourage those persecuted followers of Jesus Christ that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is going to break through into their lives and give them power. They would be able to hang on and survive. Friends, the church is not going to die. We marvel at this scene and we long for it to be duplicated maybe in our lives. We see evil. And for them, that kind of storm, especially on the lake, was evil for them. They see evil being muzzled. Maybe we've experienced that. We've seen that happen in somebody else's life. But why not ours? We want or we need one more sign from God or from Jesus as we struggle. We want this same kind of peace for ourselves. And so Jesus goes on a little bit further here in the text and he says, why are you so afraid? He's going in a little bit deeper, just as a surgeon would do when he's trying to get all of that cancer, that substance in our body that's causing us this illness, and he just needs to carve out a little bit more. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's going in just a little bit deeper, and he's saying, why are you so afraid? You've been with me now for a year, maybe a year and a half, and I've told you things, and I've shown you things. Why are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith? In other words, do you think that I might forget you or not care about you? You're not alone. I'm here. I said we were going to go to the other side. I didn't leave you. I'm here. And I'm fully in control. Isn't that enough? Now we have the joy and the privilege of reading this on the other side, so to speak. We can see things that the disciples had not yet seen and witnessed. And I think it's pretty interesting that Jesus doesn't accuse them of unbelief. At this point, he's just saying, don't you trust me enough? Their courage had fled. Their courage had left them. Their trust had failed. And I'm guilty of that too. There's been times in my past and in my life where my trust has failed me. I've wanted to do things in my own power to rectify or to change or to redirect things and trying to think that I know best or better, when sometimes, even in that attempt, God and Christ says, no, no, just you're making it worse. Just trust me. Take that deep breath. As Psalm 121 says, my eyes look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and earth. He knows me. He's with me. He hasn't forgotten about me. He hasn't forgotten about you. And then flipping over to John chapter 14, those first six verses there. We fast forward in time a little bit here to where John is recounting for us readers that the disciples realized that Jesus is, his departure is imminent. Up a little bit in 14, in verse 36, Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't we follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And then Jesus answered him, "Will you really lay down your life for me?" And he tells him that he's going to deny him three times. And then in chapter 14, at verse 1, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'm going to come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, you may also be. And then Thomas again says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would have known my Father. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." After Jesus' resurrection, his most frequent greeting was, any idea? Peace. Or fear not. Those days following Jesus' resurrection, he appears to the apostles in the upper room, and he appears to different people at different times, and his words are always peace or fear not. And he could only say that because of the power of the resurrection. Jesus will always be on board with us. In the middle of that storm, he's going to share that experience with us when life is miserable, when we think that we're about to die and it's catastrophic. Jesus says, "I'm here with you. Trust me." Take that deep breath. Inhale the spirit of peace. Exhale that spirit of peace. Know that I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. It might be easy to say that, but when we're in the middle of it, it's hard to accept. It's hard to trust when those storms in life rattle us. And again, Jesus' question to myself and to you is, are we going to trust him? Are we going to trust him? Is our faith anchored in him? Christ is, the Christ that's in the boat is the same Christ that was on the cross. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, shortly after this part of John, goes towards Jerusalem, and he has that last supper with his disciples, which we're going to celebrate in a moment. And so would you just pray with me a moment, shall we? Father God, we thank you so much for the fact that you have not left us alone, that you are with us in the storms of life, and that we have this tangible expression of the fact that you love us, that you've forgiven us, that you've died for us, that you would never leave us alone. And so we want to celebrate and thank you for that. Help us again as we seek to live into this world that you call us to be a part of. In the midst of those pop-up storms, those things in life that challenge our faith at times, help us to hold tightly to you, to look to you, to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.